Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
I read something a while ago, and I really felt led by the Holy Spirit this morning to read this. And I know it's him, so I'm going to be obedient. It was called From Dust to Ashes, and this is what it says. You got hammered in the bar on Saturday night, but you came to church on Sunday. Come and sit by me. You're right where you need to be. You're a drug addict. You came to church on Sunday anyway. Come, sit right by me. You're where you need to be. You're divorced, and the last church you attended condemned you for it. Come and sit by me. You're right where you need to be. You had an abortion. It's eating away at your heart. Come and sit by me. You're broken. You're crushed. You're confused. You've lost your way. Come anyway and sit by me. All are welcome in God's house. Every single one of us he has welcomed. And we have invited God in this place, the Holy Spirit. It made a place for him, made room for him. The worship was amazing this morning. It always is. But it's just amazing because that is what we give God. That's the gift we give to God. And there is so much going on. We live in perilous times. But I'm going to tell you by way of announcement that the fishing trip, you see a lot of empty seats because our guys are on the annual big fishing trip. And so far, my Dave is in the running for the most fish caught. Dan, my son-in-law, has caught the largest fish. So I don't know about the rest of you, the husbands and brothers and all this, you know, but they're having a great time, such a great time that I got a call that said, you're going to be by yourself tomorrow morning. So God has a plan, right? He has a plan. So I've titled this message, Keep the Faith. We're going to actually show a video at the end that I believe is a powerful, powerful video. And the secondary title besides Keep the Faith would be You're Coming Out of This. You're going to come out of this. And I'm going to kind of be all over the place, but you're going to get it. So you're going to have to follow me. I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad you're here in God's house, in a safe house, the house of the Lord. Jacob once said in Genesis 18, where he had the vision of the ladder going to and from heaven, Genesis 28:16, he woke up out of his sleep and he said these words. He said, and these words are sad, but they are powerful and they are also encouraging. He said, surely the Lord was in this place, but I did not know it. Wow. God is in this place. I say that to you today. And it's interesting because the statement doesn't seem right. The Lord was in this place and I didn't even know it. In reality, this happens all the time. People do not know that God is in the place, that God is present, because we haven't honored his presence. We haven't acknowledged him, that you are present, God. You are present. You are a very present help in time of trouble. God is never absent. He's never an absent father. Have you heard the term absent father, deadbeat father? He's not that way. God is a very present father, and he's a very encouraging and wonderful father. And he is here today, and the Holy Spirit, his presence is here today, which means we are not alone and we are not forsaken. And Jacob named that place Bethel because the name of it was the house of God. The house of God, he is present. And after doing an extensive study of, as you know from last week, Rosh Hashanah, something really began to happen and churn in my spirit by the Holy Spirit. You know, God is the God of second chances and another chance and one more chance and a fat chance and there's not one more chance. He is the God of one more chance. His mercies are new every morning. His grace is available to everyone who will receive it. You have to receive it, but it is available. And I believe God has a message for us today. And this is what I would say very, very quickly about that. It's a new year. Rosh Hashanah has just happened. We're in the middle of the 10 days. It is a new year. It is a new month of October. It is a new day, and it can be a new you. I'm going to read, if you've known me more than 2 minutes, if you met me 2 minutes ago, you already know this. Psalm 126 is my favorite passage in the Bible. It is so encouraging. And I'm going to read it to you, Psalm 126. When, not if, the Lord turned again, he'll do it again, yes, he will, the captivity of us, we were like them that dreamed. It was like a dream come true, in other words. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Did we not just sing? And the heathen even talked about us, and here's what they said. The Lord has done great things, not just good things. God has done great things for us. Not just God is a good God, God is a great God. And it continues on. David transitions. First, he's talking about we, and now he's talking of, he's saying us. The Lord hath done great things for us. This is so personal. He's saying it again, great things, great things, great things. And here's what he said. Turn again captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Do it again, God. God, do it again. Have you ever had something in your life happen? And then it happened again, and you needed to go to God again about it and say, do it again, God. What you did before, you can and you will do again. And what will God do again? The great things that he did last time for you, the great things. And he said, turn again our captivity as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears, maybe that's you, maybe that's you. They that sow in tears will reap in joy. Maybe that's you and I today. He that goes forth and weeping, bearing precious seed. Have you ever spoke the word of God when it was hard, when it hurt, when you were weeping, you were crying, but you had precious seed, you had something to plant, you had something to deliver, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his gifts with him. Now, I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what is going on in your life, very few of you, but I do know that you're going through something that's testing your faith and that is a challenge, that's challenging you, because I know this. We live in perilous times. We live in the difficult season and in perilous times. And I want you to know something, that with God, all things are possible to him who believes, and nothing is impossible with God. The word impossible is not even found in the Bible regarding anything about God. Here's a scripture to memorize, Luke 18:27. And Jesus replied, what is impossible with men, I can't do it, is possible with God. What is impossible with men is possible with God. I'm going to read something to you. This is about Mary, the angel Gabriel. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You know what, where I could stop? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit. When you're asking God, how can this be? How can this be? How can you make this possible? You just need these words, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Nothing will be impossible. How is that? By the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit that will come upon you, nothing shall be impossible. All things are possible with God. 2 days I was talking to someone who said, I just can't do that. And I said this, you are absolutely 100% correct. You cannot do this, but God can. Christ in you can. And the person said, well, how? And here was my answer. And the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and he will help you. You're going to have to ask for help from heaven, from out of heaven. And you're going to have to believe that what God says in his word is 100% the truth. The Holy Spirit is called our helper. And Mary asked, she asked a question. She was asking the angel questions. And it's okay to ask God questions, by the way, as long as you don't form them in the form of an accusation. I've heard people say, I asked God a question. Well, why'd you do this, God? Why'd you do it that way? And why didn't you do this, God? That is called an accusation. That is not called a question. But if with a sincere heart you decide to ask God a question, God will respond and answer to your question. And it will be an answer you need to hear that is a favorable answer. And the sad thing is many people do ask God questions and they are just accusations. But when Mary asked the question, the answer was the Holy Spirit. The answer was the Holy Spirit. What if I told you today that the answer to the situation you're going through is the power of the Holy Spirit? is if we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we have the power of the Holy Spirit. And after that, the angel told her, he actually confirmed another miracle, which I like that these two were together, because this shows us something else, that miracles happen to young and old alike, and you're not too old for a miracle, and you are not too young for a miracle, and you're not too young to bear fruit, and you're not too old to bear fruit either. Because I meet people every single day who are broken. I talk to people who are hurting. I talk to them in the day, and I talk to them at night. And let me tell you something. I have not talked to one single person probably in the last 10 years who did not need God in their lives, the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and who did not need some kind of a miracle. And so many of us need a new beginning. We need another opportunity to start over again, to do as Willie and I talk about, the reset. We all need the reset. And that we need someone to help us reset our lives. Who is that someone? The Holy Spirit. He's going to help us reset our lives. As we begin a new life, it begins also with leaving old things behind. We have a part to play in this. I have begun a new series on Monday night that has been fairly well attended, as a matter of fact, and it's on the patriarchs of the Bible. And we begun to study this past week the life lessons we learned from the patriarch Abram. And one of the first lessons that we learned this week was, if you want to lead, you have to leave. If you want to be a leader and lead somebody somewhere, you got to leave that old life behind, or nobody's going to be available to follow you. So we have to put the past behind. Isaiah 43, let me share this with you. Isaiah 43, 18 to 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, open your eyes. I'm doing a new thing, and it springs up now. Do you not understand this? Can't you comprehend this? The past, let me say this to you. The past is not, your past is not nearly as important as what God has ahead of you in your future. And we spend too much saying this happened and that happened and what happened yesterday and last week and last year. Who cares? How about looking forward and saying, I'm living in the present with everything I've got, and I'm pressing on toward the mark of the high calling, and I'm walking into the future, and God has a plan for me. God has something good ahead for me. And the gospel is not just good news to the lost. Do you know that the gospel is good news to you and I today? To the found, to the lost and found, the gospel is our good news. And we listen to the radio every day, which I try not to, by the way, very little. Very little. I'll look on the internet and I'll see kind of what's going on. I do not care to listen to the radio. I do not turn my television on. People think we're insane, by the way. I do not care to turn my television on. There is no good news on the television, but there is good news when I open the Word of God. I get turned on when I open the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is called the Helper, and if I had a helper available to me and I did not call him for help, then I have no one to blame but me. But if I'm willing to call for help and cry out for help, he will come. No one has ever called on Jesus that he did not come. No one. It's not going to happen. The demoniac with almost 6,000 demons, that devil cannot take away your free will to come to Jesus and worship. You can call on God, call on me, and I will answer you and show you things you know not of. Anytime we call, he always comes. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit, because we all need miracles. But more than even miracles, we need the power of the Holy Spirit, which is equal to not just miracles, but strength to do what is right. The power of the Holy Spirit gives us strength to avoid sin, strength to do, because I want to say it like this: either I overcome sin or sin will overcome me. Either I conquer the flesh or the flesh will conquer me. Somebody's going to be the ruler, and it's by the Spirit. Lord, let me worship in spirit and truth. Let me, your Holy Spirit is going to help me. And in the Bible, we see so many people, when talking about turning our lives around, we see so many people who made wrong decisions, and with God's help, they literally turned it around. But they did it by calling out to God. Even my favorite, poor old Jonah, who cried out to God in the fish, within this fish. You know, and like I said, I think his story is so funny, because we have a disobedient prophet of God, but we got a very obedient fish who did just what he was told to do, go swallow that guy. You know, but God, he called out to God, and God gave him another opportunity. He was stubborn, but God, in his own way, Without sounding sacrilegious, can I say that God is persistent and he is stubborn too, in the best of ways? He is persistent and he is tenacious. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is called the Hound of Heaven, that he pursues us? Have you ever been pursued by someone? I want the Holy Spirit to literally stalk me, to pursue me, to come after me, because that's the way I get rescued and saved. And Jesus is not just my Savior because I bowed my knee at an altar and I said, save me from heaven. He saved me from a million other things. He is my Savior every single day of my life. He saved you, no doubt, before you got to church today. He saved you yesterday. He saved you last week. And many of you know it. And many of you, there are times when we are not aware that he is saving us, because it's not just what he does. It is who he is, the Savior. He is my Savior. And I am so thankful, because I am a needy person who has been in a lot of messes, a lot of traps, and he saved me and he rescued me out of it. And so we see another person. We see Naomi, who found herself far away from God in a place called Moab, that God literally called, this is my wash pot. Moab means dirty, filthy water. She was in a filthy place where they were idol worshiping, and her husband and two sons had left, and they had left out of Bethel with a blessing. They took the big truck. They took the big U-Haul, because it said they went out full. The truck was packed full of the blessings and the treasures that they had gathered up over the years. And when she came back, she said, I am empty. I have nothing, but I do have one thing. I'm bitter. Call me Mara. I'm bitter. She was even being honest. I'm at a place of bitterness. But let me tell you, even though she was in that condition and she knew she was in that condition, she had made a right decision. I'm going to go back to church, to Bethel, the house of God. And even though there was a famine when they left, I'd rather go through hard times and famine times in Bethel with God's people right here than I would to go and leave when the hard times. And how fair is that, by the way, that, hey, everybody in Bethel was going through a hard time because there was a famine, because of their disobedience, but these people get to pack their big truck and leave with their stuff, and you're leaving me too. You know what? There's a message right there. We don't leave. We stick together in the hard times. But here's Naomi, knowing what she had done, and all she looked out, I always say this when I teach this, I can picture her doing her dishes in the window, looking out the window, and all she sees in the yard, there's the grave of my husband. He didn't make it here in Moab. He died outside the promises of God. Here's my sons, Mahlon and Chilion. There's their graves. Boys didn't make it either. We're not even told how, but I can tell you that I do know what happened. I can tell you exactly what happened. In Moab, there was no healing in Moab. There's healing in God's house, but there's no healing in Moab. So whatever happened, whether they got sick, whether they got hurt, they did not make it. But Naomi said, I bet you she could picture the marker next to it says Naomi. And she made a decision. I'm getting out of this. I'm going to come out of this. And that's the message today. You're coming out of this. And so she made a decision and she returned to God. And she thought that she wouldn't be accepted back. That's why I read what I read. Sit by me. Sit by me. If you're out, if you're having a hard time struggling with sin, come to church anyway. Because I can tell you, she thought they would not even accept her. She told Ruth, there's going to be nothing there for you. There's no husband. I have nothing to, there's nothing there for you, because that's not what, I'm not going to give you the history on it, but she wasn't supposed to be able to marry Boaz, but Boaz married her. So there's a difference there. But here it is. She's coming back, and all she sees is the town is excited and they're happy to see her. I'm telling you, when you come back to Jesus, everybody's going to be happy. Everybody's going to get excited. It's a time of rejoicing. But that's why I wanted us to look at Psalm 126, because the Lord turned again our captivity. Sometimes we fall back into the same traps, into the same pits, but God, what God did yesterday and last week and last year, he can do it again. And God has gotten you out of some tight spots. Some we caused ourselves, some you caused yourself, I caused myself, and others were traps of the enemy, but God is still the same God. He is still able, he is still faithful, even when we are unfaithful. And here's what they said in some, I love how David said it, turn again our captivity. Do it again, God, do it again. And David, let me tell you about David. Here's David, a giant killer, a giant killer. Since the time of his youth, a man who was said, a man after God's own heart, but also a murderer, also an adulterer, but a repented one, as recorded in God's word, and God blessed him again. And so that means there's hope for you. There's hope for me. I don't want anything that is not of God. But I can tell you something else. I do want everything that is of God that is available to me. That means healing. That means deliverance. That means salvation. That means the blessing of the Lord. I'm not ashamed to say. There's a song by Maverick City that I love so much, and you've all heard it by now. Dave goes around the house with the phone in his pocket singing the song. Bless me, bless me, bless me, Lord, indeed. Let all these folks that's with me have everything they need. Not just for me, Lord. Bless me, bless. The reason we're blessed is so that we can be a blessing. Abraham was blessed, and he was also a blessing. But I want everything God has for me. I don't want to miss out on God's best in my life. I don't want to get to heaven and God said, you could have had all this stuff, but you never believed. You never stepped up to receive it. And you know, the Bible says this about the last days, the laborers are few, and if the laborers are few, I at least want to be, I wish there were more, but I want to be part of the few. But here's the thing, we're commissioned to do a kingdom work, so we got to get our own lives in order, right? God's got to, we got to come out of this slump, whatever it is, whatever situation we're in, so that we can have a testimony, because we're commissioned by God to heal the sick, deliver the captives, and raise the dead. And how can we heal the sick and raise the dead if we are the sick and we are the dead? And we are the ones who need to be delivered. So I'm not going to sit by the pool and wait for Jesus to come. He already came. He already paid the debt for me to access the blessings and the promises of God. But I want to say something. Just because God's blessings are made available to all who believe does not mean that they are automatic to all who believe. You and I must obey God, and we must honor and obey his commands. When someone leaves you an inheritance, they don't just bring the check to the front door. You are called to receive that by signing the papers and the documents and claiming that, taking hold of the promises of God. You know, I think of the woman with the issue of blood. She was only getting worse, not even a little bit better. Her physical condition was deteriorating, and right along with it, her financial situation was deteriorating also, because we're body, soul, and spirit. But Jesus was available, but she went to Jesus. And you know, there are times in the Bible when we see Jesus came to people. I've always said, if you can't get to God, God can get to you, like the man at the pool. He was unable to walk, but God, Jesus came to him. And it's wonderful when Jesus come to people, we see that they are healed. But when people come to Jesus, they are made whole. The woman with the issue of blood, she went to Jesus. Okay, there is a difference. Now, most of you know that 3 years ago, it's been almost 3 years now, my two grandsons lost their father, some of you knew Lou, to a sudden heart attack. It was out of the blue, worst day of my life. He had just begun a new job, but he had purchased life insurance, and my grandsons were the beneficiaries of a lot of money. When my grandson Lewis heard that they were to receive, both of them, equal amounts of this huge sum of money, he did not want to fill out the papers to receive the money. Here's what he said. I don't want this, Granny, because the only reason I'm getting any of this money is because Papa died. And we had to literally talk him into filling out the papers, and we insisted, and doing what was necessary for him to receive this. But here's what I said to him when I sat him down to talk to him. Papa wants you to receive the blessing that he has given you. And he did die, and you will receive that blessing. When I got home that night, the situation was just so difficult. It hit me hard. My Papa God sent his son Jesus to die, and he wants me to receive all the blessings that are made available to me. And so I need to step it up, and I need to do whatever it takes on my part, obey to receive the blessings that he has prepared for me. It's almost an insult for me not to. It truly is. I have said this before. It is an insult to Christ in the cross if you refuse to forgive people because you've been forgiven so much. But that's the only thing I could think to tell Lewis when he was crying and did not want to fill out the papers for the money. Papa wants you to have this. And I know today I have a word for you. Your papa paid a high price for you to receive the blessings of heaven. Let's plan on that. And so you would say, well, what are these blessings? Well, that's a pretty good question, isn't it? What are the blessings you're talking about? Well, healing and all kinds of things, deliverance, blessings, prosperity, all kinds of things. How many of us have purchased, I'll say this, insurance from companies that we work for, or like me, being all of 66 now, I have Medicare insurance. And can I tell you that we get these huge booklets, just, I mean, one right after another. Dave gets one, I get one, Dave gets one, I get one. And they send them pretty regularly. But if you ask me today, what all are you entitled to? I would have to confess something to you. I haven't really read the booklet. The good news is when I went to the hospital last time, they kind of told me this is what you're entitled to and this is what you're not entitled to. But a lot of people are smarter than that. They read their book and they know when they walk in there, well, I'm not supposed to have to pay that copay. My daughter one time, it was Sandra recently. We were at the hospital with Sandra the first time we went in when she had her recent illness. And we were in the ER and a woman comes right in the ER cubicle where Sandra is laying there writhing in pain. And the woman says, you know, we're going to need $500 from you. And Sandra's like, she literally didn't have anything, her wallet or anything. Now I'm sitting there with all kinds of cash, credit cards, checkbooks and all. And I'm just sitting there. She's like, Mom, I got to give them five. I said, ma'am, she doesn't have $500 to give you. Oh, we're going to need the $500 copay. I said, no, you can bill us. You can do what you need to do. Sandra said, Mom, why didn't you just pay it? Because she knew that was my style. I'd use, oh, yeah, here it is. And I said, because you don't even know that you owe that yet. Can I tell you something? You know what she owed for a copay? $50. Do you know how long it would have taken us to reclaim that blessing? Because she didn't owe that. But you know what? If we don't read our booklets and if we don't know, so let's go to God's word. If I don't know what belongs to me, the enemy can trap you up and I won't be able to receive everything because I don't even know what the promises of God are. And so I just wanted to share that with you that God has so many things for you in whatever situation you're in. For every problem you have, there's a promise. And we have to keep the faith. We have to stick together and keep the faith, whatever we're going through. And you may be in a tight spot. You may be in a situation where you think there's no way out. God's got a promise for you. God's got a plan for you. You may not know what the plan is, but he says, and isn't that interesting that he doesn't say, for you will know the plans I have for you. He says, I know the plans I have for you. They are for good. God is taking care of the plans, okay? We have the word of God. He has the plans for our life. And we may be in a tight situation, but we're coming out of that. And I would say to you prophetically, you're coming out of that fire, just like the three Hebrew children. You're coming out of that depression. You're coming out of that pit. God is going to lift you out of that pit. You're coming out of that addiction. You may have felt trapped for so long, but just keep sticking with God. Keep the faith no matter what. Just keep calling on God no matter if you're in a ditch somewhere. Call on God. You're coming out of that addiction. You're coming out of that storm that you're in. You're going to be safe, just like Paul and everyone who was with him was safe. You're coming out of that prison. You feel like the door has slammed behind you and there's no way out. Jesus is the key. Jesus is the key. The doors are going to be unlocked just like they were for Paul and Silas. We're coming out by the power of the Holy Spirit, and things are going to happen in your life, like with Mary. By the power of the Holy Spirit, she bore fruit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, lives were changed. The disciples were no one but followers until they received the Holy Spirit, and then they began to be activated. How about the book of Acts is the book of activation? And so they began to be activated, and Peter, who had once denied Christ, preached one of the most fiery sermons that you will ever, 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 ever read in your entire life because God was with him in the Holy Spirit. I believe that this is going to be a year of breakthrough because God has made a way of escape. And Psalm 23 says, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death and death is all around you and stalking you like a lion, he is stalking you. It does not matter because the rod and staff they comfort you. When Moses, the rod and the staff, by the way, represent the cross. When Moses held up his staff, the people would win the battle against the Amalekites. In Exodus 17:11, it says, as long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, that's honoring the cross, the Israelites were winning. But when he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. Always hold up the staff. Always honor the cross. And Aaron and Hur took a rock and put it under him so he could sit down. And they, sitting on the rock, I love that, sitting on the rock, standing on the rock, sitting on the rock, one on each side, so his hand stayed up till the going down of the sun. How powerful is that? Then we go to the Red Sea, Exodus 14 and 16. Raise up the rod, raise up the staff, and stretch out your hand over the sea. Hold the cross up, and it will divide the water so that you can walk through on dry ground, so that you won't be drowned, so that you won't be overtaken by the enemy, even though there were mountains on each side of them, and there was a Red Sea ahead of them, and there were enemies behind them. All they had to do, all Moses had to do as a leader, was hold up the cross. So we want to hold up the cross today. Because of the cross, you're going to win every battle of the enemy. Because of the cross, you're going to cross over and not be drowned. But it takes us rising up like the man at the pool, because others are counting on us. Your children are counting on you. Your children's children are counting on you if we want to live a blessed life. You know, there have been times in our life when it was hard. It was really hard. And Kathy, I think of you all the time over there. Kathy over here, who 18 months was in the hospital, and we stood outside the door, Sam and I, while they shocked her heart back. And the doctor said they didn't expect her to live through the night. And for 18 months, we fought a battle, but not like the world, not like the world. We held up the rod. And the only way we knew how to hold up the rod again was Al and I decided to hang those posters with scriptures all over that hospital room. And Alan remembers they called us holy rollers. But let me tell you something about holy rollers. Alan rolled Kathy right out of that hospital too. Holy rollers is, if that's the worst thing they ever call me, bring it on. They looked at Alan and I like we had lost our mind. They would come in that room and say, she shall live and not die to declare the works of the Lord. Who? Kathy, the one in the bed that's almost in a coma over there. That's the girl. She's expected to live because we expected her to live and we honor the cross. And I just want to tell you that there's a miracle. God has a miracle for you, for your situation. I told someone before church just today, miracles, miracles. We believe in miracles. You've come too late. There's churches that say that we don't believe in miracles. We don't believe in healing. Of course, there's no healing there. No one's praying for healing because they don't believe in healing. But I'm praying for healing and I'm believing for miracles because I believe in God. I believe that He's a great God. And I believe that every little thing He does is a great thing. But one of the things that I really love as I'm winding down here is this keeps churning in my spirit and it keeps going over and over and over. You know, the other night as I was thinking just about eternity, and I was thinking about my grandmother on her tombstone. I remember it so clearly, going to visit in Mississippi, and it says, she kept the faith. And on my father's tombstone, it says, he kept the faith. And so I'm here today with a word for you to keep the faith, because you're coming through the situation. You're coming out of that situation. God's going to bring you out. Maybe you fell in. Maybe someone pushed you in the pit. I don't know how you got there. It doesn't really matter how you got there, because he's going to bring you out. But I've asked little Tony, I don't know why I still call you little Tony, for goodness sakes, alive. You know, he's married with kids. Tony Jr. is going to play a video for us by T.D. Jakes that I really, really think will encourage you, that I absolutely love, and it is just keep the faith. Keep the faith. So that's a word I have for you today. That's the only word I have for you today. Keep going on and keep the faith.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.